Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Jason Koo. He is the founder and CEO at Zupo, an SEO consulting agency based in Orange County, California, that helps construct powerful long-term SEO strategies for clients all over the world. And Mr. Koo, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. So I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to go back and forth a little bit about some SEO, digital thought leadership, et cetera.
Well, we're thankful for your time and looking forward to hearing from you today in all regards. So for starters, we'd love to know a little bit about your backstory. If you don't mind sharing that with us and how you got into SEO to begin with and became also an expert on thought leadership. Let's start things with that today.
Yeah, no, would love to share that story. It's always one that I think the story really characterizes how our agency even operates. But so, you know, my story starts like most SEOs or most, you know, business owners in college. And so when I was in college at the time, the Facebook and Twitters of the world were seeing hockey stick growth and everyone couldn't stop talking about them. And so for me, you know, I was some wide-eyed kid that really wanted to join some of that, you know, success, and I wanted to do it on my own. So, you know, I wanted to figure out what business or what skill I could contribute to the market. And so, of course, I started first development and coding. Very quickly learned that I did not have the brain or skill set to really excel in that field. I turned to investing, bought a lot of books on investing. I was reading a lot about it. Just, again, felt like my brain did not allow me to naturally excel. But what became apparent really quickly was marketing was something that I just naturally could understand and really get excited for. And I think the main reason is because marketing is so immersed with strategy. And as a child, I played a lot of, you know, strategy games, RTS games. For those of you out there who grew up with these games, like Age of Empires, Warcraft, Civilization. I grew up with these games. I like strategy. And so marketing quickly became what I liked. But again, marketing was quite broad. So I knew that, okay, I found the skill, but I need to do something with it. I want to start a business. I want to be like these other startups. So I did what I read entrepreneur magazines and stuff like this where they told you, how do you get your first customer? And a lot of them were like, you know, map out your contacts, see who owns a business, see who knows someone, see who works for somebody that might have an opening. And I, you know, asked everyone in my network and a lot of no's. So it forced me to a position where, you know, I knew a little bit about marketing. I knew a little bit about SEO and social media. And so, but no one, there was no opportunity, no free budgets for me to play with. And so this forced me to have to go the long, hard way where one January morning during college break, I just decided, okay, I need to find my first customer. So I drove to my local college town's like small business area, and I just started knocking on doors and saying, hey, you know, I learned some marketing skills. I practiced it in school and some club work, but I really want to do it, you know, from an executional point on a business level. So would you give me a shot? This was definitely terrifying for me. I was not naturally someone who could do that. I'm the kid that like would dip his toe into cold water before ever jumping into a pool. And so this was something that I knew though that I just had to, you know, jump over to get into business. And that's kind of what happened where that day, that morning, I got one business to say yes. It was a little boba shop in our college town. And from there, one customer turned into three, turned into five, and soon I was starting an agency, you know, graduating college, and now today I run, you know, Zupo. So that's kind of the long backstory, but I think a lot of the listeners and business owners could kind of relate. I mean, I think I'm very proud of what I did to get here, and I still am very, you know, I think it was very formative for me to do that.
I like it. I certainly like it, and I can also understand totally why you got into SEO. good stuff and a good backstory there that helps us understand more about you. Now, let's focus in on thought leadership. What are the typical roadblocks or obstacles that you see when it comes to building thought leadership?
Yeah, no, I love this question because I think a lot of people have this in mind, but they don't necessarily voice it. So just for the listeners, thought leadership is something that our SEO agency uses to help link build. So that jump from SEO to thought leadership, it's one of the main tools we use. So through our experience of working with clients in the SEO campaign, thought leadership is something that we help clients cultivate and execute. So one of the main things, you know, for most of our clients that we're trying to get them off the ground when it comes to thought leadership, a lot of the roadblocks or obstacles, you know, one of the main ones comes from a psychological perspective. In short form, it's imposter syndrome. A lot of our clients or potential people that we talk to who get excited about thought leadership but just have never done before often think to themselves, you know, no one wants to hear me. I'm not the elite of the elite in my industry, so why would anyone want to listen to me? And I think that that's a normal situation that occurs, and so I think that that's one that we get a lot of. And then the other one that we get a lot of in terms of obstacles or roadblocks is, I guess you could say, a lack of context, where we do have some clients who are really excited and ready to get going on you know, building thought leadership through speaking, podcasts, writing a guest contributor article. They're ready to get going. They're really excited, but they find that they don't know where to begin. Now, for those customers in our client or in our agency's kind of engagement, we do that for them. But when we were first starting and talking to clients about it, a lot of them have expressed to us that sometimes they want to, they just really don't know where to begin. So usually we find the roadblocks or obstacles. The main one tends to be psychological because, again, there's a natural tendency to doubt that people may want to listen to you. And then if you're the other personality type where you're confident enough to know that, no, I think I can provide value, it tends to be a context thing, which is, it's funny because it's very similar to my first business foray, is just having a lack of context. And that can be its own hurdle to jump over.
Yeah, good information and good feedback there. Really appreciate that and helpful. Now, taking that further, what are strategies that you would recommend to get past those roadblocks similar to the ones you mentioned and jumpstart one's own thought leadership?
Yeah, of course. And so the first one that I talked about was imposter syndrome. And so that one, I would say, you know, the solution to that one, because it's more psychological of doubting oneself, the solution fix that would also be psychological. And so the best way I can explain it is there are many people and organizations out there seeking knowledge, advice, and perspective from others, and they're not always necessarily looking for the elite of the elite to advise them. So a great example that, or very like solid example that I can give is your local university or alma mater. A lot of universities would love for their alma mater to come back and speak and, you know, engage with students. Most of these alma maters do not want their alma mater to come back and talk about, let's just use my case, for example. They don't want me to go back and talk about the finer details about SEO campaigns. How do you balance offsite links and internal links to funnel link equity to certain content pieces? They don't need to know that. They don't want to know that. They want more, high level, just general information about marketing, SEO, understanding, you know, its career that you would like to go into, for students, how to get, you know, how to tackle those first 2 to 5 years of graduating and getting a job. They don't need me to flex SEO knowledge. And so to kind of broaden that out a bit, whatever your skill set or whatever knowledge that you can share, there's a lot of organizations, like I just mentioned, or universities, that don't need you to be talking about the nitty-gritty of your industry. They want you to just talk as someone who is successful in moving to that next step of having a career, maybe even having a business, and just sharing that. And that goes even farther. There's local trade associations, local small business development centers, incubators, or just flat-out networking events that want a speaker. And at these places, they often don't have budgets, but they do want just someone to talk. And they don't have to be, again, elite of the elite, as long as they can just speak to something that they know a little bit more than the average person, that is plenty. So that's the strategy I would remind everyone is don't psych yourself out. You still have a lot of value, and there's many people who would love to have that that perspective from you. And then the second obstacle, which was lack of contact. When it's lack of contact, I'm kind of going to use the same university kind of an example I use. I feel like universities are treasure trove for opportunities that people who have graduated don't look to. There are a lot of organizations who are desperate to find speakers. And so if you're really trying to build your thought leadership, you just cannot get started, I would recommend going to your local university or college and going to their career center or the clubs that are oriented towards your field. So my local college, they had an accounting club, advertising club. They had a marketing organization. They had an entrepreneurship incubator there. Go to those organizations and say, hey, if you guys ever need a speaker, I'd love to kind of talk. And those organizations find it very stressful to fill their calendar for speakers. And so that's a pretty easy way to get started. There's also, like I mentioned earlier, SBDCs, Small Business Development Centers. Another strategy I would use, again, this one I use myself, but I don't know if everyone would want to go through this this method. If you really don't want to ask for someone's permission, start your own Eventbrite or Meetup and bring people to an event and just start speaking. That's what something I did in my local Orange County area. I just started to form my own networking organization. Organization might be an excessive word, just networking, recurring meeting, and I would speak here and there, bring other speakers, and that's what kind of got me to build some authority as well. So in that, I would say, go to your alma mater or build your own events. And last, my quick tip is if you really cannot figure anything out, you can pay for it. There's a lot of organizations, media publications, podcasts or video series that if you pay, they'll let you come on and speak. So that's one that I would kind of end with as well. Is if you really can't figure it out, if you have money, you can use a budget to get some opportunities.
Really do appreciate the thorough coverage on that. This has been very insightful already today. We're joined by Mr. Jason Koo, founder and CEO at Zupo, an SEO consulting agency based in Orange County, California, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, here's an interesting question for you. I think you'll agree with me. What are some things you would not recommend to do when getting your thought leadership going?
Yeah, no, I love these questions. The not questions are always the most passionate. What I would recommend to people listening is if you're trying to build thought leadership, my main one that I'm going to focus on in today's call is when you're building a thought leadership, you really need to remember thought leadership is about external third parties. So I've met people who are like, yeah, I'm building my thought leadership authority by writing on my blog every day, building my own YouTube channel and building my own podcast. Well, that is extremely commendable. And I think that is something that a lot of people, if you can do it, you should, because building a lot of content on your website is great for one's personal SEO. If we're strictly speaking about thought leadership, it does only get you so far. Thought leadership is about providing perspective, value, and information to your peers and to the market. And so by just doing it on one's own blog or YouTube channel or podcast, you're not exactly expanding your knowledge to others. And so what I would recommend to people is, yes, you can do your own blog and your own properties, but after a certain extent, think of it like training wheels. They must come off for you to truly ride a bike, or in this case, to truly build thought leadership. You need to, at one point in time, start to pitch yourself to publications, podcasts, universities, speaking organizations, to have you go be a guest and be featured. You cannot, you don't confuse thought leadership with just writing on one's own blog. To me, that is the equivalent of saying, like, I'm one of the smartest people I know, but all I do is go home and watch Jeopardy and I can answer all the questions. Well, that there is some validity to being able to answer that. You need to go outside and share knowledge and build that authority through testing your skill set, testing your ideas market. So in short, it can't just be your own properties for building thought leadership.
Really good stuff. Good stuff there. And when engaging in thought leadership strategies, how do you make sure you are getting the most value out of these campaigns? Talk to us about that as well.
Yeah, so being featured in thought leadership is already great in itself, but we feel like there's a lot you can gain out of it. So I can kind of give a two-pronged answer to this. At the end of the day, I run the SEO agency, so I will always think through that lens. One of the first things I would make sure you're doing with your features and, you know, thought leadership is, you know, make sure you're driving links back to your website. I think people can get really excited about speaking and they don't want to sound too selfish, but, you know, when you're offering advice through contributor articles, podcasts, or speaking sessions, I think, you know, audience members generally, if they like what you had to say, do want to learn more about you and would be happy for you to share your resources with them. So I would encourage people when they're doing thought leadership, think back of how you're going to tie it to what you're doing. So for example, you know, often when I go speak to small business owners or entrepreneurs, I've given a 1-hour session before on how to evaluate if SEO is good for your startup or how to know what strategies to use. You know, and I tell them, okay, you can find that talk on my old website, and I link to it through the different properties. So in short, make sure you're linking back to your own properties or at least mentioning them. Actually, from an SEO perspective, I have to really emphasize you got to link back to those properties to make sure you're getting the most value. But the second portion, a non-SEO one, is make sure that every time you're getting featured, update your portfolio. You know, anytime you've been featured on a podcast or a publication, put the logo on your website. But go a little bit farther than that. You know, a lot of what I highly recommend people is it's easy for people to put it on their website, but when you are, if you have a sales process, when you have slides or a deck, you show leads or anything, use those logos in the sales deck. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, people already saw on the website. I think there's a lot of times where the person who found your website isn't necessarily the decision. Just found your website, put you in a list, and other decision makers have to evaluate. Thought leadership is a big mover and shaker of people's trust in you. And so use it not only in the beginning to get interest, but also to secure and social proof a lead or a decision maker who's just a little nervous. Use it in your sales process and material to kind of alleviate some fears of like, hey, don't worry, we know what we're talking about. Here's all the places we've been featured and the topics. And I think that goes a long way. And I see a lot of people not use that opportunity today and that they throw it on the website and they never think about it again. Just take that extra step and put it in your sales material.
Jason, really want to thank you for all the insight and information and focus here on thought leadership on behalf of your company, Zupo. And really appreciate your time today. Before you go and in conclusion, do you have any specific tips or next steps that a listener could take right away when they finish listening to this interview?
Yeah, specific tips and to walk away. I would say, you know, start thinking about what you can offer to the market. You know, I think that there is some level of creative thinking that you should do. So I'm not going to use an SEO example right now because I think that like I've already talked about SEO, but like, for example, if you're a web designer listening, you can't go out and be like, I can talk about web design. Yes, that's sort of true, but you still also want to find some creative skew. So maybe you want to talk about Webflow because Webflow is this new hot, you know, web CMS that's being used, or is there a new design style that are in play? I would just encourage you as you begin, make sure you have some options in your tool bet to have some nice angles about your topic. So today is a good example. SEO, I'm talking about thought leadership. Thought leadership is a very specific campaign in SEO that can help. That gives us a nice, interesting thing to talk about rather than folks talk about SEO because that could be too broad. So find some angles, specific angles that can be new and unique.
Well, it certainly makes a lot of sense and certainly do appreciate and value your your angle and strategy here. Really appreciate it in all regards and have enjoyed your visit with us here today. If listeners wanted to connect with you for their SEO needs and or even tap into your thought leadership expertise, where can they get more information on Zupa?
Yeah, I think right now where we mostly operate is through our website, so that's zupo.co, and so that's zupo.co, yes, it's .co, and the other place you can find us is on LinkedIn. We are one of the only companies in the world with the name Zupo, so just look up Zupo on LinkedIn, and you also find myself, Jason Koo. Those are the places that you can also find, you know, me occasionally posting here and there, but the website and LinkedIn are the two best places.
Sounds easy enough, and we'll include that link within the show notes of this broadcast. Mr. Koo, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. It certainly was our pleasure.
Always, Eric. This is always great. I love you know, starting my morning with these questions. It gets my mind going, so I really enjoyed it.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Jason Koo, founder and CEO at Zupo, an SEO consulting agency based in Orange County, California, that helps construct powerful long-term SEO strategies for clients all over the world. And for all the details, simply visit zupo.co. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.